Okay, today we're going to do a Zichru Chazara for the very first parak of Masechta Sota. I've been off the Zichru bandwagon for a bit, but we're trying to inspire ourselves to get back on. So this is the 2-week trial, first parak of Masechta Sota, Zichru Chazara, as always, just using the phenomenal Zichru system by Rabbi Goldhar and Rabbi Barry Leibowitz, and just an amazing system to be able to remember your learning. So without a Gemara, just to use their system to remember different pieces of the Gemara. Without further ado, let's get started. Daf Beis of Masechta Sota first discusses why it is that Masechta Sota is juxtaposed with Masechta Nazir. And the Gemara says, because Kalara Sota Bekulkula Yazir Atzmo Minayayin. If a person sees a Sota in her disgraced state, it will inspire him to take a Nazirus from wine, because he sees that that's the effect that wine has. The Gemara also talks about that the Mishnah talks about that there's a machlokas whether stira is done with shnei edim. Kinoi has to be done with shnei edim, but is stira done with ed echad or with shnei edim in order to make her to turn her into a safek sota that would then drink the mei hamarim? The Gemara also talks about on Amud Aleph, on the bottom of Amud Aleph, about kolara sota, about hakasha lezavgam kikriyas yamsuf, that there's a stira. On the one hand, we know that abraham yom kodem mitzvah savlada, 40 days before a baby is born, it's a bas kol comes min hashemayim that says bas ploni l'ploni, bais ploni l'ploni, sadil ploni l'ploni. But on the other hand, it says kasha l'zavgum k'kriyas yamsuf, that shiduch mara is difficult as kriyas yamsuf. And the Gemara famously answers, kan b'zivug rishon, kan b'zivug sheni. It depends whether we're talking about the first zivug or the second zivug. On daf gimel, the Gemara talks about how if a person does an aveira b'seiser, like the sota tried to do an aveira quietly, so machridus in a love begalui becomes a whole public spectacle, and ultimately everybody is going to find out about it. We also had a discussion that in order for a person to be mekane his wife, to do a kinoy on his wife, the Torah describes that a ruach overcomes him. So the Gemara wants to know, what kind of ruach? Is that a ruach tumah, and it's a really bad thing to do a kinoy? Or is it a ruach tahara, and it's a good thing, because his wife may be asura to him, so he needs to address that situation. So the Gemara seems to assume that it is a ruach tahara and not a ruach tumah that overcomes him to do the kinoy. Nowadays, you're not supposed to do a kinoy because there's no way to resolve it anymore with meisota. So we don't do a kinoy anymore bisman hazeh, now that we don't have a beis hamikdash. The Gemara tells us that when you do mitzvos, your mitzvos are going to run ahead of you in olam haba, to sort of pave the way for you in olam haba. But when a person does averos, the averos are going to attach themselves to him like a dog. They're going to stick themselves to him. He's not going to be able to escape the entanglement of his averos when it comes to olam haba. In Daf Dalet, we discuss what exactly is the sheer stira. How much time do they have to be alone in a room for it to be a problem? We say that it's kedei tumah. It's the amount of time that it takes to have tashma shamita. Well, how much time is that? So the Gemara quotes 9 different opinions, which is really 8 different amounts of time, because 2 of them are an identical amount of time. Is it the amount of time kedei akafas tekel, that you walk around a palm tree? All different sorts of shitos to be mosaic yayin, different things of how long it takes to do kedei tumah. Ben Azai even has an opinion, which is somewhat surprising because he was never married. He was Taraso Umnaso. So the Gemara says, well, it could be Sona Shemli Reyav. It could be that that he received a special secret information about how long it would have taken him, or it could be that that he was Makabel from that he was previously married once, and he just wasn't married, it just didn't last because he was so connected to Torah learning. But anyway, that's one thing it says in Daf Dalet is about that. Another thing it says in Daf Dalet is about Netilas Yadayim. It's the major Netilas Yadayim sugya, that if a person eats without Netilas Yadayim, it's a very terrible thing. Not only that, the Niguv HaYadayim is critical. If a person eats bread after doing Netilas Yadayim without drying the hands, it's as if he's eating disgusting food because it's ruined by the water that's on his hands. A person, when they do Netilas Yadayim, should lift up his hands so that the water can drip backwards. When you do Mayim Achronim, on the other hand, you face your hands in the downward direction. the between Mayim Rishonim and Mayim Achronim. And then the Gemara says that the Gemara at the end of Daf Dalet starts the sugya about Gaiva, and it says that if a person is a Bal Gaiva, it's as if he built a Bama and he's Ovid Avodah Zarah on that Bama, really terrible things. And then Daf Hey, we continue the sugya of Gaiva, and we say that a person who lifts himself up in Gaiva and expresses arrogance and pride is going to be Mashpilin also. They're going to lower him down. He's going to be a nobody. And there may be room for a Talmud Chacham to have an eighth of a Gaiva, Shminis of a Shminis in Gaiva, although that itself is also a Machlokes. There is an opinion, lo minei v'lo miktsasei, that I don't want any part of it. A Talmud Chacham should have no part of Gaiva whatsoever. And then toward the end of the Daf, of Daf Hei, the Gemara discusses what happens if a sota's husband dies before she gets to drink the mei sota. So we have three different versions of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda as to why he says she cannot do yibum with his brother, but she must do chalitza. And they basically boil down to the fact that she's evil, so we can't force the guy to take this evil into his house. She's done terrible things, so we can't have it, or she might have done terrible things, so we can't have it a mitzvah for this guy to take the woman into his house. And then on Davav, the Gemara suggests a different svara as to why it is that a sota does chalitza, but not yibum, and that is that im lumutrla, she became aser, by becoming a sota, to even her husband, who was previously mutter to her, so la asr lo lo kol shkein, so to someone who is asr to her, namely her husband's brother, for sure being a sota should make her asr to him. The Gemara questions that in two different ways. What if she was asr to the husband's brother anyway? What if she was mutter she was asr to the husband? What if she was an almana married to a kohen gadol, or she was a grusha married to a kohen hediot, and the brother is a chalal? Right, those kinds of situations where the status seems to be the same, but the Gemara rejects those challenges. Then the Gemara tells us the great chiddush of Rav Sheshes, and that is that if there is anybody in the world who can say edos about whether she had a bia with this man that she's accused of being with, if there's anybody on earth that knows, then the mesota is not going to work. One of the rayas that we try to bring to that's correct is that there's a mishnah that tells us that if the karban is supposed to be burned, and then Edei Tuma come, then you burn the karban. You're not able to bring the karban. But wait a second, if she already drank the mesota and it vindicated her, and she was found not guilty, so then shouldn't that be a raya that these Edim that are coming are liars when they say that she's guilty? After all, if she was guilty, the mesota would have done something. Elamai, you see that the mesota couldn't work because these Edom existed, and as long as the Edom exist, the mesota is not able to work. And then on Dav Zayin we learn about how they would have Shnei Talmidei Chachamim that were Malavinosa, that would walk together with her and the husband to bring her to the Sanhedrin Lishchas Hagazis. And the reason, and the Gemara tries to be medayik two different halachos in Hilchos Yichud from the fact that we have Shnei Talmidei Chachamim that are Malave. One halacha we try to derive is that when we say that two men and one woman is not a problem of yichud, that's only when you're in a city. But when you're a bederech, where one person may need to use the bathroom, you need three men. So that's why we have shnei talmidei chachamim in addition to the husband, so that you have three men. And the other thing is that we insist on it being talmidei chachamim. So you see that prutzim, it would not be good enough to have three people, because prutzim afilu eser, even if you have 10 people, it would not be good enough. Then we discuss how we are ma'ayim aleha, what sort of pep talk we give her to sort of frighten her a little bit. So first of all, we tell her that we understand that there are a lot of yetzer haras in the world, that harbe yayin osa, wine can have a tremendous impact, negative impact on a person, harbe chaverim ra'im osim, to have a bad chevra, harbe yaldus osa, to be young and immature, can also have a tremendous impact on a person. So we understand that that's where this problem, this misbehavior probably comes from. So we express that to her. And then we tell her about the heroes of Jewish history who were Moda, who admitted their wrongdoing, and because of that they became great heroes of Jewish history. We tell her about Reuven being Moda, about Yehuda being Moda, in the hopes that that will encourage her to be Moda as well. And then on Daf Ches we learn that you're not supposed to be Mashke Shtei Sotos Ka'achas. You can't be Mashke two Sotos at the same time. So the Gemara says maybe it's because of Gzeres HaKosov Osav Lo Osav Es Chavirta, or maybe no, it's a Svara, that if you can have two Sotos at the same time and one of them is innocent, so she maintains her innocence, it's going to give courage to the other one to try to maintain her innocence instead of actually being Moda to what she did. So we don't want to give her that sense of courage. And then the Gemara says, or it could just be Enos in Mitzvos, Chavilos, that we don't do Mitzvos in bundles. And bundling two sotos together is a violation of Enos and Mitzvos, Chavilos, Chavilos. Then the Gemara asks a double stira, that on the one, there's a machlokas, whether we have to worry about the pritzus of the sota, whether the sota's unclothed, being unclothed, or being partially clothed, is going to be a cause of concern for the Kohanim, that they're going to have a Yetzer Hara for her. But it seems to be a stira in both the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim to what they say with regard to the chayiv skila for someone who's chayiv skila, where a man, when he's chayiv skila, you just cover him a little bit by a woman. You just cover his makom erva by a woman. There's a machlokas. Do you only cover her from front and back just on the makom erva, or do you stone her clothed because we're concerned about the yetzar hara? So the Gemara says neither kasha is a stira. Neither one is a problem. Meaning you could be inconsistent in either direction on that stira. It could be that we are more concerned about the taiva when it comes to a sota, because the sota might walk right out of that Beis HaMikdash and still be around to satisfy their urges on her, whereas someone who's chayiv skila is going to be dead, and a person is not going to have a yetzer hara for someone who's dead, and they're not going to carry out a yetzer hara on somebody else, because the yetzer hara only applies to that which a person sees. So that's not cause for concern. The other possibility is that no, there's a greater cause for concern when it comes to someone who's chayiv misa, whereas by a sota we're being menavil her. Not that there's greater cause for concern, but when it comes to someone we would never really be concerned, but we don't want to disgrace the person who's chayiv misa by having her undressed, because v'ahavta l'recha kamocha baror lo misa yafa, you have to pick for a person a misa yafa, so we don't want to be menavil her even more than she already is. So by Yisotu, we have a mitzvah to be menaveler, but by the person who's getting killed, that's a nivel gadol mizad, and the fact that she's getting killed, so there's no need to undress her. And then on Daf Ches, we also have the Mishnah that describes how everything that happens to the sota is a mida keneged mida, that the averis started biyarech tchila, it started with the thigh, and then the beten, so too, the way she's punished is with the thigh, or at least the way the klal is described is with the thigh, and then the beten. And then on Daf Tes, the Gemara has a principle that any time a person desires that which is not meant for them, not only will they not get it, but they will lose what they already have. And the Sota is a good example of that. And the Nachash HaKadmoni, the Gemara describes in detail, is a good example of that, that he desired Chava, and not only did he not get Chava, there's a tremendous Eva between Chava and the Nachash, between womankind and Nachashim, and he lost everything. He was going to get so many great brachos. He was going to be stand up tall, and now he slithers on the ground. He was going to be able to eat like a person, and now he only eats dirt, less than even an animal. And the Gemara says there are nine other examples in Tanakh of people who wanted something that did not rightfully belong to them, and as a result they lost out in even on what they already had. And then the Gemara goes through Mida keneged mida punishments of certain people, particularly Avshalom with his hair, that he was caught up by his hair because he took great pride and arrogance in his hair. And we start telling the story of Shimshon, and we say that Delilah, her name should have been Delilah, even if it wasn't Delilah, because she managed to take away his heart and to take away his secrets. So her name should have been Delilah anyway. And And then on Daf Yud, we learn that there are five people who had some blessing that was beyond. It was an extraordinary, Tzidkiyahu's extraordinary eyes, Shimshon's extraordinary strength, Avshalom's extraordinary hair. So there were five people that had something that was very extraordinary about them. And all five people, their downfall came through that which was extraordinary about them. So on Daf Yud, we learn about how that happens to those extraordinary people. Then we also learn about Avram Avinu planting an Eshel, and two opinions of what an Eshel is. Either it's a pundak, a makom lina, or it means actually an orchard that he planted, an orchard, because it says Vayita Eshel, which makes it sound like that it was something that he planted. And we also learn about the great action of Yehuda, the story of Yehuda and Tamar, and how Tamar refused to embarrass Yehuda publicly, because it's mutav that a person should allow themselves to be thrown into Kivshan Eish rather than to be Mal Pnei Chaver Barabim. And Yehuda ultimately stepped up and he admitted his wrongdoing. And then on Daf Yud Aleph, we learned about the rise of Paro in Mitzrayim, Vayakom El Chadash, then two deos, whether it was Chadash Mamish, a brand new king, or it was just Nischad Shu Gzeirosav, and how he got the original Gzeira going. He took advice from three major advisors, from Bilam, from Io, from Yisro, and each one got paid back accordingly. The Bilam Shashasak ended up the Sheyaatz ended up getting killed. Io of Shashasak suffered terrible Yisurin, and Yisro, who was Barach, who ran away, became Yisro. He became the father-in-law of Moshe Rabbeinu, and his Enoklach, our great Talmid Chachamim. And the way Paro did it is he started working at first, and it was Beparech, Beperach, that he spoke softly at first, and even he was working, and anyone who claimed that there were too much of an Istinus to work, they would say, are you bigger Istinus than Paro is? And the Gemara talks about Shifra and Pua and why they were called Shifra and Pua, and it was either Yocheved and Miriam or it was Yocheved and Basheva. It was either a mother and a daughter or a mother-in-law, daughter-in-law combination. And Shifra, Shemesha Peres HaSavlat, she straightened the limbs of the baby, and Pua, that she would coo the babies to keep them quiet. And then on Daf Yud Beis, in Daf Yud Beis, we discussed how Miriam convinced Amram to remarry Yocheved, that after he had divorced her, because he said once there's a gezeira of Kala Ben HaYeloda Ya'orit HaShlichuhu, that you have to throw every baby into the water, so what's the point? Why would we continue having Jewish family? And because he was a Gadol Dor, everybody else divorced their wives. So Miriam told her father, your gezeira is worse than Paro's gezeira. You're being goes around the Nekevos also, not only the Zacharim. Your gezeira is going to be Mekuyim. Paro's gezeira is Safek, whether it's going to be Mekuyim or it's not going to be Mekuyim. And there was one other Taina that Miriam had, I forget right now, but she got them to remarry. And the Gemara tells the story of how the daughter of Paro retrieved Moshe from the Yaor, that he was in a box, and the Gemara goes through what the box was lined with and why what the box was made from. It was made from a cheaper material, because Tamil Cham Chavivim, their Mamonim Yoser Migufam, and it was not the bad smelling pitch was on the outside of the box, so the tzaddik shouldn't have to smell it, and it was of a softer material, so it wouldn't break on the rocks. And then she sent out her amma, that even though all of her maidservants died, she sent out her amma to go grab the box that Moshe was in. So two days, what that means, either that she stretched out her arm and stretched, just like the sharbit of Achashverosh, or it means that she sent out her shivcha, because one of her shvachos was left alive, so that it shouldn't be a bizayon that a bas melech is walking around without a shivcha. And then she needed someone to nurse the baby, because nobody wanted to, because the baby wouldn't take milk from any of the wet nurses of Mitzrayim. So Miriam said, oh, I'll go get someone to nurse the baby. And she in fact got the baby's mother. She got Yocheved to nurse the baby. And that's what the Bas Paro was misnave, without even realizing that she was being misnave, when she said, here's your baby. And it actually was her baby. And she paid her for it. She paid her even to nurse nurse the baby. And then on Daf Yud Gimel, we learned about the retrieval of, first the burial of Yaakov, and how they all went up to bring Yaakov to Maris HaMachpelah, and how Esav encountered them there, and Esav was refusing to allow it to go forward, and Chushim ben Dan got so annoyed, he didn't think it was nice to wait for Naphtali to go retrieve the shtar, so Chushim clopped Esav, and his eyes bulged out, and Esav ended up dead, and that was a kiyum of Rivka's nevuah, that they were both sort of buried, both of her sons were buried on the same day. And then we learned how Moshe Rabbeinu was able to retrieve Yosef's remains by consulting with Serach Bas Asher, and either finding his remains in the Nile or finding him in a royal crypt in Mitzrayim, and also how Moshe Rabbeinu lived to 120 full years, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashlim the years of tzaddikim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was involved in the burial of Moshe Rabbeinu. And then on Daf Yudalit, at the very end of the parak, the Gemara tells us about Mahu Af Ata, that we are supposed to imitate the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the only way to attach ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because otherwise HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an Esh Uchla. So we say, just like he's Mevaker Cholim, we should be Mevaker Cholim. Just like he's Malbish Arumim, we should be Malbish Arumim. So we should do all of the things. Kodesh Baruch Hu's Kover Mesim, like he was Kover Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's why it's relevant over here. So we too should be Kover Mesim. That all of these things are things that we should do. And then the Gemara concludes by asking, why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu so desperately wanted to get into Eretz Yisrael? V'chilech u'mipriyu tzarech, what he needed to have the delectable fruits of Eretz Yisrael. What was so important for him to be able to go into Eretz Yisrael? So the Gemara says, it's the Kayim Mitzvah Shaben. He wanted to be Mekayim, the Mitzvahs, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu reassured him that he's making it ki'ilu he was mekayim those mitzvot. So that concludes the first parak of Maseches Sota. We should all be zochet to continue learning and continue trying to remember our learning as best as we possibly can.